You're listening to the Wobcast with the one and only, the legendary, the insurmountable Wobby.
All right, everyone, welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, inside TCO Studios at Winter Park with producer and co-host Chris Corso. It's a playoff edition, a bring-it-home edition of the Wobcast as the Vikings get set to host the New Orleans Saints in the divisional round on Sunday, 3:40 p.m. Central Time kickoff. The game will be televised by Fox, and of course, you can catch the game all across the Vikings radio network. Exciting times, Chrissy. You ready to go today?
This is about as good as it gets.
Yeah, man.
This week. It's been a fun year, to say the least. Who would have thought? And we're right in the thick of it.
Yeah, this is a week where, professionally speaking, I would like to go to sleep tonight and not wake up until Sunday morning.
Can it just be Sunday?
Yeah, I'm tired of waiting.
This week has gone. I've been saying it to everybody this week. It's gone by so slow.
Yeah, it has. That's because we're excited for Sunday. It will be the first playoff game at U.S. Bank Stadium. That's pretty cool.
That's right. You don't think about it because it was just 2 years ago that we played in the playoffs against Seattle, but that was at TCF. So, first game ever here. And like Zimmer said, he wants the loudest crowd ever at U.S. Bank Stadium on Sunday, and I'm sure that'll be the case.
I think he's going to get that.
I think he will.
You know what the cool part about it is, too? The game is Sunday at 3:40, so it's kind of getting to the end of the day on Sunday on the weekend, but a lot of people don't have to work Monday.
And the best part about having that last game is we know exactly who's left. We know exactly who we're going to play and where we're going to play if we win the game.
That's right. That is true. Because the Eagles host the Falcons on Saturday night, we'll know who's in the NFC title game and where the NFC title game will be played before the Vikings and Saints kick off. So if the Falcons win, the Vikings and Saints know that they will host the NFC title game if they win.
That's right.
That's pretty cool.
That would be a great scenario in our book. Obviously, if Philly wins, we go to Philadelphia in the next round if we win the game against the Saints. But either way, it's all exciting.
Yeah, it is. That's Chris Corso. You can catch him on Twitter at CA Corso. I'm at Wobby, W-O-B-B-Y. And of course, make sure you follow the Vikings at Vikings on every single social media platform that there is. You can follow the Vikings. We have a cool show today that will include a conversation with former Saints and current Vikings defensive tackle Tom Johnson, one of our favorite guys on the team and in the locker room. We'll also have Know Your Enemy, a look at the rest of the divisional round, over-unders, and of course your mail. But first, some news and notes. Congrats to Rick Spielman, Chris.
That is an awesome award that we saw by Sporting News. He was named the Executive of the Year.
Yeah.
And that is just for the work that Rick Spielman did this offseason and obviously in the draft and what he's continued to do, revamping this offensive line, giving Coach Zimmer all the tools he needs to go 13-3. That's where it all starts. So it's awesome.
Now, this is not the Associated Press Award that is handed out at NFL Honors the night before the Super Bowl. This is by the Sporting News, but the Sporting News is a very well-respected publication. So this is a big deal and a cool award. So kudos to Rick Spielman. A couple of the things I have written down under this bullet point as notes for Spielman and his year as general manager: the Keenum signing and surviving quarterback injuries with Bradford and Teddy. The Reef signing, I mean, dynamite. I mean, and people criticize the Vikings when they signed Reef and Remmers. Oh, you got second-rate tackles in free agency. You could have had Okung. You could have had Khalil. You could have had Whitworth. Well, those three guys are good players, but they're all at home right now. Riley Reef and the Vikings are still playing. Cook, Gideon, and Elflein as draft picks. And then sometimes it's the guys you don't sign that are good moves. So not re-signing Rhett Ellison and going with David Morgan. Not re-signing Zach Line and going with C.J. Ham. Now, Zach Line is playing for the Saints, and the Saints are coming here. So Zach Line is still a player on a playoff team, but C.J. Ham has come up big for us. And then not re-signing Captain Munnerlyn, trusting Mac Alexander, and using Terrence Newman. All good decisions by Spielman and Zimmer.
For sure.
The Bears hired a head coach.
They did. He was the former Chiefs QB coach and offensive coordinator last year, Matt Nagy. He has some AFL experience, yeah. Arena Football League. He then went to the Chiefs, and I think he had some time in Philadelphia as well.
He did.
He's an Andy Reid guy.
Exactly. That's what I have written down here. Andy Reid flavor. And, Doug Peterson and Frank Reich are doing a great job in Philly, and they came from the Andy Reid tree.
That's
Matt,
for sure.
Matt Nagy comes from the Andy Reid tree. And they hired the former Oregon head coach as their offensive coordinator. So you're going to see some tempo, some big time offensive explosion type things coming maybe from, or at least that'll be the design.
That's a very interesting hire.
Yeah.
Definitely an interesting staff there too. All these teams are looking for kind of their young
39 years old.
Yeah. He doesn't have as much experience as you would expect to be a head coach, but yeah. Maybe they're going with the LA Rams formula, going for a young Sean McVay type coach.
Yeah, and so the ripple effect for the Chiefs organization is that Eric Bieniemy, who used to be the running backs coach here and coaches running backs in Kansas City, he's going to be the OC now for Andy Reid. I would imagine that Andy Reid will hang on to play calling duties. Speaking of head coaches and play callers, John Gruden, the Raiders' new head coach. That's kind of a cool story.
That was a great story. I watched that press conference.
So did I.
I just love hearing what he has to say. It was interesting to hear him talk. He's excited. He's ready to be back. He loves the Davis family, which he made pretty evident there. But, yeah, it'll be good having him back for the game of football.
Yep. Still head coaching vacancies, Chrissy, in Arizona, Detroit within our division, Indianapolis, and the Giants. Some hot names out there include our very own Pat Shurmur, Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels, and defensive coordinator Matt Patricia. The quarterback coach in Philadelphia, DeFilippo, and the Patriots linebacker coach also getting a little bit of pub. When you look at those vacancies, Chris, the one I want to ask you about is the Giants, because you're a New Yorker.
Yeah.
What do Giants fans want? What are your buddies saying back in New York? Your buddies who happen to be Giants fans, what do they want?
It's funny. We were just talking about this, a couple buddies back home. They're all Giants fans, all my friends. I was the lonely Jet fan with my family, definitely not the right side to be on growing up.
Okay.
But, they all like Matt Patricia.
They want Matt Patricia.
He's actually an upstate New York resident growing up. He coached around the New England area at some small colleges there. And eventually he was also at Syracuse as well. Went up to the Patriots, and the rest is history for him.
Okay.
I know he's like some rocket scientist as well, Matt Patricia.
Wow.
He's a real-life rocket scientist.
Okay.
And he's under the Bill Belichick tree.
Right.
So they're all looking forward to Matt Patricia. I think he's the front runner as we speak.
Okay.
So.
Interesting. You know, because the Lions also have this vacancy, and the Lions GM is Bob Quinn, who came from the Patriots.
That's right.
So a lot of people are tying McDaniels and Patricia to the Lions job.
That as well.
Of course, they can't hire both of them. So one of those two guys is probably going to be hired by the Lions. Maybe it'll be McDaniels and Patricia goes to the Giants or vice versa. Who knows? But it's interesting. The Giants are coming off of Ben McAdoo, who was an offensive coach. And now you're saying your Giants fan friends would want a defensive guy.
Yeah, they're all looking for defense. Obviously, they're excited about the draft coming up here. The Giants are right there in the top two. They're looking forward to the future. They've had a lot of fun times with Eli Manning, but... we'll see what happens over there.
Right before we started recording, Chris, the National Football League and NFL UK announced the slate of games for London for next season. And there are three of them. Last year there were four. This year there were three. So this literally just happened before we walked in here. So you might not have even seen this yet, have you?
I have not.
All right, so I'm going to let you know what it is.
Well, you're breaking news right
okay,
now.
Okay, yeah, we're breaking news here. No Vikings inclusion this year going over to London. So we'll start out with that. The Vikings, of course, went to London last year and played the Cleveland Browns. That will not happen this season. No Vikings London games in 2018. But there are three of them. The first one is Seattle playing Oakland on October 14th at Tottenham Hotspur. So John Gruden, in his first year back with the Raiders, will play a home game against the Seattle Seahawks in London.
Wow.
So that's interesting. And then the next two games are both going to be played at Wembley. It's the Philadelphia Eagles against the Jacksonville Jaguars, either the 21st or 28th of October at Wembley Stadium. So two playoff teams from this year. Carson Wentz likely to be healed and playing by then against a really good Jaguars defense. The Jaguars are, it seems, annual participants in the international series. They will, air quotes, host a game against the Philadelphia Eagles at Wembley Stadium. And the third and final game in London for next season is the Tennessee Titans at the Los Angeles Chargers, that one on October 21st or 28th at Wembley. So Titans, a playoff team, at the Chargers. So our friends over across the pond will see three playoff teams from this year.
That's pretty good, because usually a lot of the teams that head over there are on the lower spectrum of the league.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the Vikings and Browns, as an example, neither one of them were playoff teams last year. So that's kind of cool. I enjoy going over there. I know that you you didn't go on the trip.
No, I wasn't on it this year.
So I enjoy doing that, and I definitely don't want to give up a home game to go over there, but as a road team, it's kind of a cool trip. So it's an exciting day for those six teams, those fan bases, and the employees, coaches, and players of those teams. Some don't like doing it, but most, I think, do enjoy going over there, and it's been a great aspect of NFL life is playing those games across the pond. So interesting that those will be the six teams that go over there. Finally, before we get into the meat of the show, I want to talk about this quote-unquote revenge tour that Vikings fans are thinking about, Chris.
You know, that's a big topic this week.
It is, and it's obviously the Vikings lost to the Saints in the 09 title game, and then in the 1998 title game, they lost to the Falcons. Both heartbreaking losses that really came down at the end of the game, at the end of the day, to field goals, to kicks. You know, and there were turnovers and other things that happened in those games, but they were heartbreaking losses for both those Vikings teams and obviously for Vikings fans. And so now, you have the Falcons alive in the NFC playoffs in the divisional round, and the Vikings play the Saints in the divisional round. So a lot of fans are just like, we're going to go on a tour here and we're going to enact some revenge against these teams. And the current players and coaches sort of keep this storyline at arm's distance, right?
Absolutely.
Because they weren't involved in those games. Brian Robinson is the only Viking who was on that 09 team that lost to the Saints.
And Zimmer actually said that he was in the crowd.
Yeah, he was at the game as a as an observer,
as a fan, because his son, our linebackers coach Adam Zimmer, was an assistant for the Saints on the other side.
Right. So, you know, but what I, you know, kind of my line of thinking on this is, this does impact the game, the actual game, because here's why. I know the players and coaches like to keep this at arm's distance, and I can understand why. They didn't participate in either of those games, except for B-Rob. But the fans did, and this week's game is in Minnesota. So the fans who are in the building on Sunday, they remember that.
Fans remember.
Okay, they remember both those losses, especially the one to the Saints, whom they're playing on that day. And so from an indirect standpoint,
yeah,
this revenge tour storyline has an impact on the game. And not the players and coaches, but the fans. The fans are the ones who fill the building. Zimmer asked for the fans to be loud, and the fans are going to be loud anyway for a divisional round playoff game. But the fact that it's against the Saints, you know, is going to add a little bit of juice to the building.
There will be a little extra juice in the building, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And I'm excited.
So,
I can't wait.
Yeah, and so a lot of times on these storylines, it's like, hush, hush on that storyline. It doesn't really impact the game. I think this one indirectly does impact the game.
I agree.
Yeah, kind of cool. All right, let's get to today's guest. It's former Saint Tom Johnson, one of our favorite guys, right? I mean,
yeah, he's always a good guy around the building. Coach Zimmer actually spoke about him in his press conference a little bit as well. So we'll listen into what Coach Zimmer had to say as well, and then take you to the interview with Tom Johnson after practice today. But yeah, there's a lot of good words going around about Tom Johnson around the league, around both of these teams, so he was a perfect guest for this week.
Well, he's been a lot more consistent. He's played the run much better. You know, there's been times he's probably played too many plays throughout the course of some of the games. You know, we've had some guys hurt in there, but you know, Tom does a great job of understanding what we're trying to get done, and you know, I think he continues to mature in a lot of different ways. Tom's been very important. You know, the three technique is an extremely important position for us. you know, a lot, especially on, you know, he gets a lot of double teams, a lot of wide runs. For him to be able to come in and play the run like he has this year has been good. You know, it's another position like this week will be important. You know, being able to get some pressure up the middle, I think all those things will be important.
All right, Tom Johnson, big week, man. I mean, you're a former Saint, I know that, but even throwing that out the window, just being a Viking, this is a big week.
Oh, definitely. Not only because it's the Saints, but it's the next week, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a big playoff game. Then it determines if we're going to move forward to where we want to be at. So
yeah,
it's a big game just in that atmosphere.
Yeah. Now, you having played for the Saints, you do have some familiarity with two key people I want to ask you about.
Okay.
Sean Payton and Drew Brees.
Okay.
Like, those two guys, I mean, those, they're institutions in New Orleans. You know, they've been there for a long time. They've had a lot of success. What was it like, you know, being around two guys like that who are so well-known and well-respected?
They're polar opposites, actually, if you think about it. Sean's one of those instinctive guys, happy-go-lucky, emotions on his sleeve, and Drew one of those cold-blooded, just focused, zeroed in what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
So with Sean, you'll see so much emotion at times in practice, having fun, or very emotional as in something bad went wrong. Drew just, he stays at zero the whole time.
Wow.
Good, bad, ugly. He's not going to get too hype. He's not going to stay too low. He's real calm and collective, man. So, you know, with Drew, you just got to roll with it. You know what I'm saying? Sean, he's going to be more excited. People going to thrive to him. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, and everyone talks about Drew's competitiveness. Did you notice that, too, when you were there?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah. He's by far one of the serious people ever, and he takes work very, very serious.
Yeah.
He's the first guy that, like, you hear people say, first guy there, last guy to leave. Literally, he's the first guy there, and you always see him in his notebook. You always see him in practice looking at his first read, second read. So he's a guy that's very focused, you know. We're going to get his best this week, you know. He's going to be focused. He's going to try to rally the troops, you know. So we're expecting that, you know. I think we just got to go out, play our game, and do our thing, you know.
Yeah, just like you did in week one when you guys had some success. Now, last thing on you and the Saints, you know, you still, I mean, they gave you a chance, right? Do you kind of look at them in that way where it's like you remember your time there and you kind of came into there? Or is it like, no, man, they let me go? Like, you know, how do you look at your time in New Orleans? A little bit of both, maybe?
I think that it was just the best situation for the both of us at that given time.
Yeah.
You know? When I came in, I had a lot of different offers. I thought that they was the best situation for me. And then in the midst of all the adversity that we went through my 3 years with three different coordinators, Sean not being bound and gate kind of put a damper on what was going on and what we had already planned to do. So the guys is there that I remember, you know, that I still have relationships there, but I look at it as one of those things that, you know, it was going to benefit each other, but it just didn't pan out.
Yep. Yeah. That happens in this league.
Definitely.
You wind up coming to Minnesota. How much fun is it playing here in Minnesota with the crowd and the home games? I mean, that U.S. Bank Stadium can get so loud. It's going to be jacked up
no
on
doubt,
Sunday.
No doubt, no doubt. This is one of the loudest stadiums in the league. Our fans are crazy. Defense, if you see it, we actually have to move around and get closer to talk to each other.
Yeah.
That's how loud. So they definitely bring a hostile environment, man. It's contagious, you know.
Yeah.
You see guys on the field doing the skull chanting, you know what I'm saying, do those things. So I think that they definitely, you know what I'm saying, like the 12th man out there, you know what I'm saying, and give us a definite advantage.
Yeah. You're, based on who you play, your strategy changes in the defensive line room. But as a general rule, what are two or three things that you guys want to be good at every single week?
For us as a unit, run stop.
Yeah.
Our run stop is what we put our pride on. Everybody says pass rush because we get after them and stuff, but it's actually the run. We emphasize more on the run because the pass is so natural. You got guys that's quick, and we play off each other because we have that camaraderie been gelling. But run is what we're focused on the first 2 days of the week. So I think that over the course of the time we've been together, guys learn to trust each other. So we got a one-gap defense. The guys be able to just dominate their position, knowing that their guy's going to be where he need to be at. And, you know, it's been working out. You see guys aren't giving up big plays, aren't giving big lanes or whatever. Yeah. So our main focus is to make them one-dimensional. So once we stop the run, we can actually throw back and get at the quarterback with our DBs in the back end.
Yeah, it seems like your two position coaches, Andre Patterson and Robert Rodriguez, are really like passionate about teaching and coaching and working with you guys. Is that true?
No doubt. No doubt. Dre has over, 15 years NFL experience. Rob is, a younger guy coming in, so he's hungry and want to learn from what Dre has to give him. And so that's contagious. You got guys out there with different personalities. You know, B-Rob and Griff are one of the loudest guys in the NFL and have the most craziest, personalities. So they're definitely energetic, and it's contagious. So you see that our coach reflect us. You guys don't get to see it, but Coach Patterson is one of the funniest guys ever, and he tells the best stories ever.
Yeah. What are you a talkative player out on the field, or are you quiet, just go to work type of guy?
On rundowns, I'm solid. I'm watching my thing. I'm watching my assignment, my alignment. I'm trying to get off the rock as hard as possible to attack my guy. Pass, me and B-Rod's been together on the nickel package for the last 2-3 years now.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of stuff going on. So we communicate to D and Griff on what's going on. And, you got to communicate. Things change, checks change, guys motion, So on nickel, me and B-Rod communicate a lot with the linebackers on what's going on or whatever. So I talk a little more third down. First down, second down, I'm not saying too much.
A little business, and then third down, it's time to have some fun, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Last one. Like, when you show up to work for the week, and it's like, okay, here's the day where Coach Zim's going to show us the game plan. I got to think that it's got to be, that's like sort of exciting, because Zim has got so many tricks and like so much experience. But are you ever just like so anxious to see what his plan is for the week?
Every day is like that. It's not just Wednesday. It's Thursday. It's Friday. Today we had a lot of stuff that we installed and break down and things like that. He's a guy. He's a mad scientist, man. He's a guy that's always thinking, he knows everything about everything. So he'll talk about the D-lineman, about assignment lineman, about what I need to do so that my linebacker can play off of me, how the DBs connect with the backers. So our defensive meeting where all the positions, D-line, linebackers, and DBs are in, Coach Zim runs that meeting, and that's 3 days out of 3 days that he's going to be up there breaking down stuff.
Yeah.
So it's not a one-day thing with him, and I'm on sideline, he's going to be doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So he's like a mad scientist, man. You just got to be ready and take the little tips that he gives you and know that it's for the benefit of the whole team, and that if you do it, it's going to open up play for you.
You having fun doing this?
No doubt.
Yeah, every day?
Best job in the world, man.
Yeah.
Even the bad days. Even camp has its perks, man. So if you can make it through camp, season is a breeze.
Yeah, well, you're having a great season. Thanks for all your hard work, man. Good luck Sunday, all right?
No doubt. Thanks a lot.
All right, Tom. All right, so, Tom Johnson, he knows the Saints as well as anyone, and he gave us a little bit of a preview right there, but we're going to go even deeper now with the Know Your Enemy segment. This one guided, of course, by Chris. So, Chris, help us get to know the New Orleans Saints a little bit better.
Well, there's a lot of good little knick-knack stats
to
start out this segment, and I want to start it out with that just because this is all positive for the Vikings.
Okay.
The Saints are 1-5. In road playoff games all time.
Okay. I like
so
that.
They are on the road this week. Remember that.
Okay.
The Saints are 0-3 in their last three road games this season.
I like it.
Their last road win was against the Buffalo Bills, and that was a few months ago.
I remember that game. Yeah. Okay.
The Vikings hold a 2-1 all time edge in the playoffs over the New Orleans Saints. Obviously, that loss in 2009. The Vikings have dominated the overall series while playing at home, collecting a 13-3 mark in Minnesota.
I like all these trends, man.
They're all good numbers.
Yeah, I love it.
So that's where we start. The history with these numbers is in our hands. Obviously, it's a new game. It's not the same team that we played in week one. I think that's one of the biggest storylines looking at this game. Both coaches have noted, Sean Payton of the Saints and Zimmer of the Vikings, that this is not the week one game where we won 29-19 in Monday Night Football to start off the season this year. This is a different game, and we're going to go through some of the reasons here. First, we're going to start out with Drew Brees.
Yeah, he's good.
He's pretty good.
Yeah.
Brees set an NFL record this season, completing 72% of his passes.
That's ridiculous.
His record was around 68%. Which he held for a while, and Sam Bradford actually broke that record last season for the Vikings. Breeze went ahead and took it a step further from the 69 and change that Bradford had as the record, and he completed 72% of his passes this
year. Ridiculous.
So at his age, he still continues to set NFL records. That was an impressive stat. He threw for over 4,000 yards this season, 12th season with 4,000 yards. He had 23 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. He's the same Drew Brees.
Yep, he is. Now, I did a little research for my final thoughts article that we post right before the game. The Saints are as balanced on offense as they've ever been. They ranked second, fourth, and second in passing attempts the last 5 seasons. So always top 5 and second 4 times. This season, 19th in passing attempts.
Wow.
So they've been very reliant, or at least very balanced, with the rushing attack. Yet Drew Brees authored a 103 passer rating, and it was, I believe, his best passer rating since 2013. And the Saints also were still like 4th in passing yards, or 5th in passing yards. So even though they're balanced, Brees is still having a really good season and is still influencing the games. It's just they're much more balanced, which makes them tougher to defend. And even at his advanced age, Drew Brees is still getting the job done.
Still getting the job done is right. Coach Zimmer had a few words to say at his press conference on Wednesday. Drew Brees has played good for a long time. He's won a Super Bowl. He's been the MVP. He's thrown for millions of yards, Coach Zimmer said. I think all these things kind of sum up what he does.
Yeah.
That was the quote from Zimmer this week. He knows. He says, Sean Payton has a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah, this guy's going to the Hall of Fame, period.
That helps him.
Period. So, yep.
One thing you just noted, and this is the second storyline here, there are changes from week one, but it starts with the new running backs. We didn't see these running backs in week one, and they are Alvin Kamara, the rookie, and Mark Ingram, who's been around for a little while out of Alabama. It's been 125 days since we met in week one. In that game, Kamara and Mark Ingram rushed for 35 yards.
Crazy. They went on to combine for 3,000 yards.
So that game was a little different than what the Saints offense has been doing for the rest of the season, because they were trying to get the ball to Adrian Peterson in that game.
Yeah.
So that was a little different. The running back duo became the first in NFL history to surpass 1,500 total yards each. So each of them passed that mark, which is pretty amazing. It's a different team. It's definitely
And and Sean Payton's got a lot of weapons on this offense. Like Sean Payton is a very sophisticated offensive designer and play caller, and he's got great players. So it's like it's a double-edged sword, with that. And and he's got a quarterback who's still sharp and accurate and doesn't make mistakes. I mean, this is a huge challenge for the Vikings defense.
129 rushing yards per game the Saints had, which is good for second in the NFL. 391.2 total yards per game for the Saints, which is also good for second in the NFL. So their offense is about as strong as our defense.
Let's stop talking about it.
Yeah, we're done here.
Let's go on to something else.
Let's go on and looking at the game that Sam Bradford had. I mean, he had a spectacular game. 346 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions against the Saints in week one. Obviously, there's a new man at the helm, and that's Case Keenum, who had just about as good of a season of any quarterback in the NFL.
Our friends out in Clark County, Las Vegas, the player prop for most passing yards in the divisional round, Case Keenum, 12-1.
Wow.
Just saying. Think about that.
That's a good stat to throw in there.
I mean, if the Vikings win this game, they're obviously going to have to score some points to beat this offense. So if you think the Vikings are going to win, you might like that prop bet. But yeah, I mean, Case Keenum, lack of playoff experience, of course, but he's got to be as confident a player as there is in the league, given the season he's had. A lot of people freaking out about the Vikings offense over the last month of the season or whatever. I'm not. I mean, we came back against Carolina down 11 with like 6 minutes to go and tied the game. That was great offensive production in the clutch.
Absolutely.
Scored 3 touchdowns against the Bengals, 3 touchdowns against the Bears at home. We scored 3 touchdowns against the Saints. I think we're going to win the game.
Yep.
So I'm not freaking out about the offense. Case Keenum has a passer rating of 100.1 in home games. 68% passer in home games, only two picks in his last 222 passes. So I'm cool with Case, given how we're playing defensively. So
one more note about that point total. The Saints scored 19 points in that week one game, as we said. That was the most points scored at US Bank Stadium all season.
Pretty impressive.
If we can score 20 points, I like our chances. There was also a touchdown in garbage time at the end of that game as well. So that's not really a full 19, but some of the players that Case Keenum is going to have to deal with, we'll talk about now.
Start out with number 94.
Number 94.
Look out.
Cameron Jordan had 13 sacks this season. He was tied with Everson Griffin there for fourth in the NFL with that number. He's a tough guy to stop. He's an edge rusher. He can get to the quarterback. He's shown the ability to do it in big plays.
He's their best player on defense.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
One of the coaches, we were eating breakfast this week in the cafeteria, and he came up to us making a joke, and he said, "How do we stop number 94?
Yeah.
One of our offensive line coaches, Andrew Janoco, came in, and he's like, "How do we stop number 94? He's like, "I'm going to go in and work on this all day."
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, "Come by, knock on the door if you have any suggestions," and he's obviously making a joke, but yeah, that was funny to hear.
Yeah, and Cameron Jordan, the son of Vikings legend Steve Jordan.
That's right. There's a little connection there.
Now, Kyle Rudolph is still going, still playing, so I'm going to exclude him from this comment, but Steve Jordan is the best tight end in Vikings history. His son Cameron Jordan playing for the Saints, so Steve will be at the game, and obviously we're not going to, you know, expect that he'll be rooting 100% for the Vikings. He's going to want his son to win the game, but yeah, interesting spot for Steve Jordan. His son Cameron Jordan is a game wrecker for the Saints defense.
That's the defensive line. Looking at some of the other parts of the Saints defense, a big thing to focus on this week is the young cornerbacks and secondary that this Saints defense has. Marshawn Lattimore, a big part of their success this season. In his rookie year, he's been spectacular at corner for the Saints. These are guys that are athletic. They're young. Maybe not as much experience. I know a good game plan would be to kind of play fake and get these guys to jump and move out of their normal spots on defense. But, a lot of young, athletic players in the secondary for the Saints.
Marshawn Lattimore is good. He's big, physical. He's fast. He can cover. He can play in the slot. He can play outside. And I'm guessing that he's going to follow Adam Thielen.
I would assume so.
That's my guess.
Yeah, I would assume so as well.
So we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens there. All right, we're going to move on to Wobby's mailbag. He's going to answer a few questions for you guys that you sent in. First one from Jeff from Sacramento.
Yeah.
How much value will week one tape have for the Vikings as they prepare for Sunday? Maybe a few plays that were especially successful in that game.
Yeah, you know what? I think actually quite a bit, you know, because I know that personnel-wise, there are some differences. Like their left tackle, Teron Armstead, did not play in week one, and their left guard, Andrus Peat, did play but will not play in this game because of an injury. So there are some differences in personnel. I mean, Sam Bradford and Dalvin Cook not playing in this game. They played in week one. So personnel-wise, some differences, and I'm sure play call-wise, there will be some differences. But Sean Payton's offense is Sean Payton's offense.
Yep.
Mike Zimmer's defense is Mike Zimmer's defense, and those two are going to go at it. So I still think that from a DNA standpoint, these teams are what they are. They are what they were in week one, and they are what they are right now. And I think you base a lot of what you do in this game off of what you did in week one. And obviously, Sean Payton's going to make some adjustments because some things didn't work, but Mike Zimmer knows that. And these two guys coach together in Dallas, so they're very familiar with one another, and they've been coaching a long time in the NFL with the Saints and the Bengals and the Vikings. So I'm not going to say this has like a division feel to it, but I mean, more than usual, these two teams and these two head coaches know each other.
It's funny. I was driving in this morning listening to my not Mike and Mike anymore, but Golic and Wingo is the new show, and Sean Payton gets on the phone and starts talking. And he called Zimmer an expert on defense, and he was asked the same question: what's the difference between week one and now? And he said, honestly, it's crazy how much teams change during during a full 17 week season. Guys coming off the practice squad, guys coming off your roster, this and that. And he said, but one thing's for sure, these two teams have, like, the most confidence out of any teams in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Vikings and the Saints. So to hear him say that, he's also respecting the confidence we're playing with. But that Saints team is playing with a lot more confidence
for sure
than week one.
I mean, they beat a division rival in the first round of the playoffs at home and broke out a broom and celebrated in the locker room because they beat Carolina three times this season.
And if you saw those videos of Sean Payton dancing, they're naming dance moves after
Yeah, him. I mean, they're feeling good over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Hopefully our defense can shut them up a little bit.
I hope so.
Next one from Rich Hughes in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Breeze doesn't seem to have as much of a threat to run like Cam Newton. Shouldn't the Vikings defense be licking their chops since they know what he's going to do about 90% of the time? Breeze still has the arm, but he's slow of foot. Let's hope our men can flush him out and put a few solid hits on him like what happened to Cam over the weekend. I still say the Saints are too much of a one-man band. Without Breeze driving the bus, it'll go right into the ditch.
It's a little much from our man Rich out in New Jersey.
he's excited.
He's getting that East Coast, you know, direct language at us right there. I don't think the Saints are a one-man band on offense. I mean, I get it. Drew Brees is a Hall of Famer, and you take Brees out of the game, the Saints aren't the same, but you would say that about the Packers and Aaron Rodgers and Brady and the Patriots and Big Ben and the Steelers. You would say that about Vikings and Keenum, right? I mean, so yeah, you take the quarterback out and it's different, but the Saints aren't unique from that standpoint. But, Rich, I do understand what you're saying because Rich is correct that Drew Brees is not a threat to run the ball. He's a threat to move because he can still move. He's still athletic and he can move within the pocket, or they can move him out of the pocket on bootlegs and rollouts. But Rich is right. This is a more traditional setup for our pass rush where you can use stunts in games and not worry about Cam Newton getting out for a 30-yard run. Yeah. You're not going to worry about that with Drew Brees. So Rich is right. More traditional rush plan here this week. But Brees is still good at getting rid of the ball fast.
That's
so,
sure.
You know, he's not going to sit back there for 4 seconds like Aaron Rodgers would do. So you still have to have a good rush plan. It's got to be succinct. And you have to be sudden with your pass rush. But yeah, you're not worried about Drew Brees running like Cam Newton.
And you know he's about as accurate as any NFL quarterback
probably,
in the history
yeah.
of the game.
So. Yeah.
The next one kind of ties into this question as well, so I like how it follows. Jack Gogan from Naples, Florida asks, the Panthers seem to slow down the run game in New Orleans, but couldn't really slow down Drew Brees. Would you say stopping the run along with heavy pressure on Brees would be the keys to bearing the Saints?
Yeah, I think so. If you can be good against the run,
yep.
that it starts there. And then I think the next key is getting adequate pressure on Brees with four rushers. It doesn't have to be the four down linemen. You can drop B-Rob or Everson into coverage and send a linebacker or a slot corner. But four-man pressure package so you can put seven into coverage. If you can get enough pressure with four yep. that you can put seven into coverage, that's I think is the key to beating Brees. Because if you come after him with five and six guys, I mean, Brees is going to find the open receiver, you know?
Absolutely.
And even if you have seven in coverage, but you can't pressure him with four, even with seven in coverage, Brees is going to pick you apart.
Yeah.
So the key is getting pressure with four. Whatever four you choose, it doesn't matter. But if you can have seven in the coverage, I think you have a shot against Brees.
That's a good point. It's definitely something to keep an eye on. I know Zimmer talked about the pass rush this week constantly and how he's going to set it up against Brees. But that'll be something to watch in
yeah.
this game.
Speaking of something to watch, let's keep an eye on the rest of the divisional round games. So let's break these games down, Chrissy, and offer up some predictions. You get us going with the first game.
The first game, Jaguars at Steelers.
Okay.
The Jaguars open up as a 7.5-point underdog.
All right.
They did beat the Steelers earlier in the season at Heinz Field.
Yep.
Five interceptions in that game on Big Ben. And, yeah, we know this defense is good. But we also saw Blake Bortles have trouble.
Ooh, yeah.
Trouble moving the ball down the field in that game against Buffalo last week. So I want to see what your prediction is
okay.
for this game.
The two notes I have written down here are Brown health, meaning Antonio Brown's health. We've all seen, or you know, you and I have seen the video of him working out.
Yep.
You know, he looks good. So it looks like he's good to go, but that'll be something to watch. And then the Jags defense. I mean, the Jags defense is number two in the NFL behind only us. So I think this is a cool matchup. I see what Vegas did with the 7.5. You know, they're making you that half point. That's a big deal.
They're making you pay if you want the Steelers.
Yep, and I think I would take the Steelers. I think I would lay the 7.5. Wow. I take the Steelers straight up for sure, and I think I would even lay the points. I just think the Jaguars' inability to score points is going to come back to get them in this game because the Steelers, even against Jacksonville, aren't going to have trouble scoring two, maybe three touchdowns plus a field goal or two. What do you think?
I agree. I think the Steelers are going to win, but I think it's going to be closer than you think.
Okay.
I think there's going to be, obviously, Antonio Brown will be good to go, but he's still coming off of an injury.
And Jalen Ramsey will be on him.
He's got fight watching him play. So I think it'll be closer than you think.
Yep.
But I think the Steelers at Heinz Field, this Patriots-Steelers game is happening next round.
Okay.
I don't think there's anything stopping that.
So. Okay.
I think the Steelers come out with a win maybe by 3 to 4 points.
So okay. I love it.
On a limb there.
I love it.
The next one, like we mentioned, is Titans at Patriots. The Titans are coming off of a huge win where they were trailing by 11 points heading into half against the Kansas City Chiefs.
No.
Oh.
18 points.
Was it 18?
21-3.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they came back, yeah.
That's more shade at the Chiefs that we're throwing right there.
But, yeah.
A spectacular win. Derrick Henry is taking over the backfield with DeMarco Murray out. So the Titans are big underdogs in this game at the Patriots. I think the spread was 14.5 the last time I checked. I like to throw in the spreads there just to see what Vegas is expecting in this game.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think the Pats are healthier on offense now with the bye week. Rex Burkhead had a knee injury. I think he'll be able to go. James White should be healthy. Chris Hogan should be healthy. Gronk is good to go. Brady is good to go. So the Pats getting healthier on offense, that's a big deal. But I love the momentum the Titans have. I love their aura. I think that they sort of have a chip on their shoulder. I think this game is going to be closer than people think. I would definitely take the points and the Titans here if I was playing it, if I was a gambler. I would take the Patriots straight up, though. So for our purposes, I'm taking the Patriots.
Yeah, for our purposes, I agree. I mean, it's pretty tough to go against this Pats team. I know the story that came out on ESPN this week talking about some of the dysfunction going on in the building. I don't buy any of it.
Me either.
I think it's all fuel to the fire.
Yeah.
I've grown up watching this team in the division, and it's hard to root against them, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So, Pat Steelers is what I see in the AFC. Let's pray that it's not the Patriots coming here for the Super Bowl. Please don't let that happen. I can't.
Stomach it?
We'll all be at that Super Bowl game. I have a lot of friends from college where I went in Massachusetts there. Who I really don't want to hear from.
Yep.
So let's see if one of these other three teams can get to that big game where we will be hosting, I think.
That's right. I think we will be. And if we do, we will have defeated the Saints and one of these next two teams.
Looking at the game that matters most to the Vikings, it's Falcons at Eagles. The Falcons are the favorite in this game.
Mm-hmm.
They're a 3-point favorite on the road. And I think that is a lot to do with the quarterback play of the Philadelphia Eagles. Obviously, Carson Wentz is out. It'll be Nick Foles who will be starting for the Eagles in this game. And, it's going to be tough for this Eagles team to move the ball on offense. We saw the fight of this Falcons team last week on the road at L.A.
Yep.
Against the best offense in the NFL in the L.A. Rams. And, I think this game goes to the Falcons. I'm going to take it. I'll take it with the spread. I'll take it money line. I'll take it. If I was gambling, I would go all in on the Falcons because I think they're going to win this game.
All right. Well, this is the first time in NFL history a one seed has been an underdog in the divisional round. So you're right. It's because of Nick Foles playing quarterback and not Carson Wentz. And it's because the Falcons have momentum coming off of a road playoff win at L.A. So the Falcons have that NFC champion swag to them. They're confident. Matt Ryan knows how to manage games. I expect Philly to show up, especially defensively. They have a good home field advantage.
Yep.
They have the us against the world, no one believes in us, disrespect card. Points will be at a premium. I think this is a low scoring game. I love the way Matt Ryan can manage a game like that, and I love Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman. So I'm with you on the Falcons, but I do think that this is a really good, low-scoring, physical game that is decided in the final 5 minutes.
I can tell you where I'll be on Saturday.
On your couch watching?
I'll be on my couch.
Yeah, me too.
Watching this game, which will be really exciting.
This is the best weekend of football in the NFL calendar.
Agreed.
This is it.
This is it. This is about as good as it gets. People can argue for last week, maybe, but
no,
these are the four best games that you can watch, and it finishes off with our game, which, I couldn't stress enough that I love that we're the last game of the weekend.
Yeah,
I think
it's pretty cool.
Awesome.
Yep.
All right, we're gonna finish off with an over/under segment.
All right.
Couple numbers going back to our game. The first one will be 260 passing yards for Drew Brees. Over/under 260. That's a big number.
That is a big number. I'm going under.
I love it.
No disrespect to my man Drew Brees. I mean, the Saints could win the game and not have Brees throw for 260. So I'm not saying that, you know, this is a death nail for the Saints, but I don't think our defense is giving up 260 to Drew Brees in this game. I don't see it.
Looking at some of the numbers, Drew Brees had 291 yards in week one against the Vikings in the loss, 376 yards in the win last week against Carolina.
That's killing me.
I'm going under.
Oh, you are?
I'm going
yes!
under.
All right, good.
I'm going under.
Okay.
I love it. Next number is 20 points scored for the Saints. These numbers don't come from nowhere. They had 19 against us in week one, and they actually scored 31 at home this past week against the Panthers. So under, over 20 points.
Under. You know, and if they might get to 20 and it's a push, but I don't think they're getting over 20. Two touchdowns max.
I agree. Last couple weeks, 24 points, 17 and 20 in their last three road games before the game last week.
So you set a good number here.
They've been right around that 20 number. Obviously, we have the best defense in the NFL here in Minnesota. I'm going under as well.
Like it.
The last one's going to be on our offense. I figured you got to throw an offensive number in here because it's been all Vikings defense. 115 rushing yards for Latavius Murray and Jerick McKinnon combined in this game.
Over. I think we can run on this team. Everyone's talking about Ingram and Kamara, rightfully so. They're awesome. We have a nice 1-2 punch at running back as well. I like Pat Elflein coming back. I like the offensive lineup we're going to have. I expect us to use an extra offensive lineman in some running situations and have heavy personnel out there. And we're going to try and mash the Saints defense on the ground, not put everything on Case Keenum's shoulders. Watch out for Cam Jordan. Run at him. Run away from him. Keep him off balance. Not let him rush the passer every single down. I think we're going to try to run the ball. Interesting number I found this week, Chris. We were number 2 in total rushing attempts this season. We were not great in yards per carry. I think we were like middle of the pack. But we had the second most rushing attempts in the NFL this year. I think we're going to run the ball this week, too.
That's a really good stat. I agree.
So I'm over.
Yeah, like we said earlier, it all starts with the run.
Yeah.
We're going to be running the ball to set up the play action, set up Case Keenum on the move where he's almost at his best. So I agree. I'm going over. Whether it's Murray, McKinnon, whoever it is, the health of our offensive line is really big here.
Yeah, so it is.
I love it. I'm going over.
All right. That's awesome. Anything else to go on your notebook? Or are we done?
I think we just about covered it all. We heard from Tom Johnson.
Yep.
I think we're ready to go. We're just excited. That's all.
I'm super pumped, man. It's going to be a lot of fun this weekend watching these games and then wrapping it all up with Vikings and Saints on Sunday at 3:40. So reminder, the kickoff is 3:40 Central Time. The game will be on Fox. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, Chris Myers, Aaron Andrews will have the game on television for you, but we encourage you to check the game out on the Vikings Radio Network. Paul Allen, Pete Bursich will have the call from the booth. Greg Coleman and Ben Lieber on the sideline. Of course, Vikings.com will be your place to go for coverage of the game leading up to it with awesome, unique sound and sights from the sideline, pregame warmups in the locker room. And then, of course, after the game will be your place for press conferences, photos, highlights, between the lines, articles, the whole thing. Vikings.com is your place. So I hope you guys all have a good rest of the week. Enjoy the games this weekend. Root on those Vikings hard. And let's go play in the NFC title game next week. Skol Vikings, bring it home. See y'all later. So, yeah.